Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
My guest is Peter Novak, and Peter's a little nervous, but he's got something very important to talk to you about, and that's whether there's actually life after death. That is what we're talking about, and at the moment about the Great Pyramids. We'll be right back. Tell you a little secret, Peter. When I used to first get on the air, you know, when I was very early in my career, before I'd get on the air every night, I'd have panic attacks. Yeah, I'd have a hard time breathing. I'd break out into a cold sweat, and I don't know, that'd go on for a while, and then the program would start and they'd stop. As soon as I started doing what I wanted to do, it would all go away, and I'd forget all about it. But it went on night after night after night when I used to get a panic attack. So I understand getting nervous. I mean, you've written two books, The Lost Secrets of Death and The Division of Consciousness.
Sure, just finished a third one.
A third one?
Yeah, I just got it in the mail yesterday, so it should be hitting the shelves probably in October or November.
And the name of it?
Original Christianity.
Original Christianity. Good. We'll talk about that a little bit. I'd love to talk about that a little bit, as a matter of fact. But we were in the pyramids. Let's get that out of the
way. Art, I think that 2,000-4,000 years ago, there was a single world religion. And, you know, the Christians are going to be all upset with that phrase because they think it's coming, but I think that it was something that happened a long time ago.
You think there was an original world religion?
Well, I don't know if it was original. I think there was a one world religion. I believe there was a belief system.
A one world religion, huh?
That encompassed all civilized locations, or, you know, the majority of civilized locations. And I think that our best snapshot of that is in ancient Egypt.
Okay.
And I think that they created their Great Pyramid. The Great Pyramid shows exactly what they believed happened after death.
I had heard that they thought that the Great Pyramid would be a launching platform, kind of, for the soul.
There's a lot of different theories about what they believe, but what I have discovered is that the interior passageways of the Great Pyramid are a perfect reflection of the binary soul doctrine.
This
very simple.
And by that you mean the splitting of the souls.
The splitting of the soul, right. There's two splits. The first split happens at the first fork in the road, and that's where the mind separates from the body. The body continues down into the underground passageway, symbolically representing the fact that, you know, that the body dies and there's no hope for it at all.
Right.
And the upper passageway you see is blocked by the granite plug, and that shows that nothing physical can go on the upper passageway.
Oh, I see. In other words, okay. To pass that granite, you would have to be not in the
physical.
You have
to be non-physical. It's uh-huh. only your non-physical elements that can go through the upper passageway, right?
I see. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so you have your two non-physical elements going through the upper passageway, and then you find you come to a second fork in the road. And unlike the first fork in the road, both passageways are open, but like the first fork in the road, one passageway is something special about it, right? The upper passageway has a much higher ceiling. It's called, I forget what it's called, but anyway, it's a real high ceiling, and it really encourages, it visually encourages you to take the upper passageway. But there is a fork in the road, and I believe that, so there are two forks in this passageway. I think the first fork in the road represents the first death, when the mental half of the person divides apart from the physical half.
Yes.
But then the second fork in the road represents what the binary soul doctrine talks about. It talks about where the mind actually divides apart too. It goes into two separate sections, which ancient religions used to call the second death. You see the same report about the second death in a lot of different religions. You see it in the ancient Egyptian religion. You see it in ancient Judaism. You see it in a lot of different ones. And I believe that the Great Pyramid reflects this in the diagram or in the design of the passageway.
Well, what it does mean is that that's what the Egyptians may well have believed.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily lend any sort of absolute reality the way testimony does about a prior life, for example, of life after death. It sort of illustrates what the Egyptians...
It shows that belief in the second death, the belief in the division
of the soul,
of the mind after death, it was a common belief within Egypt back then.
Okay, I can swallow that.
Now, my research has convinced me that what we are seeing today being reported about near-death experiences and past-life regression and ghosts and all of the rest support that ancient belief system. All of these modern reports can be explained by that ancient belief that the mind splits apart into two parts. Now, what's amazing to me, Art, what's amazing to me is that, you know, 4,000 years ago, the Egyptians and all these other traditions, all these other cultures, they believed that the mind had two parts.
Mm-hmm.
And now, today, our modern science has come to the same conclusion. Our psychologists have said, well, we have a conscious and an unconscious. Our neurologists have said, oh, we have a left brain and a right brain, and they're very different.
That's quite true.
And this is a virtual duplication of what these ancient people used to believe. As a matter of fact, we have a modern psychiatrist that works out of Harvard. His name is Schiffer, and he's written a book called Of Two Minds. And he says that the right brain and the left brain are not just two halves of the mind, but that they actually represent two separate selves that exist in the mind, in the brain at the same time, and that most of the time these two selves are integrated together, but they can function completely independently of each other. Now, that's exactly what the ancient Egyptians believed. They believed that when you die, these two halves of the mind were completely separate and function completely independently of each other.
Okay.
Now, it's just amazing to me that modern science has come to the same conclusion that these cultures believed all these thousands of years ago.
Well, maybe because it's a, I don't know, it's a kind of a natural way for us to go. I mean, we are aware of our consciousness when we're awake, and we're aware of the fact that we have a subconscious as well, that sometimes manifests dreams and all the rest of it when we sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about original Christianity. If you just wrote a book about that, I'd be quite curious. How different is original Christianity from what is practiced today?
Well, I can answer that question with one word, and that's reincarnation. If you look at the Christian beliefs, and then you factor in reincarnation into the mix,
yes,
that changes everything. It changes everything. And it comes out looking like a completely different creature. And I believe it is, in order to do that, basically you have to adopt the binary soul doctrine as an element of original Christianity.
The two minds, yes.
Now, we know that original Christianity believed in resurrection. They believed that at the end of time, the dead would be reawoken. They would rise from the dead.
A lot of very modern Christians believe that.
That is the fundamental element of the Christian belief, and we know that that goes back to the earliest years. However, we have also discovered, I mean, relatively recently, we've discovered that. Well, we've discovered proof. We suspected for a long time that this was true, but with the discovery of some ancient scriptures, we found it to be true that the original Christians believed in reincarnation.
All right, you said proof. That's a very strong word. What has been uncovered?
Well, the Nag Hammadi scriptures that were found in Egypt in 1945 have documented that they did in fact believe, at least certain segments or certain sects of Christianity believed in reincarnation from the very, very earliest years. Now, poses a very interesting problem, because how could they have believed in reincarnation and also have believed in resurrection at the same time?
I don't know.
Well, the only answer to that I can come up with is that they believe that there were two parts to the soul. One part would reincarnate regularly, and the other part would not come back again until it was resurrected at the end of time.
Okay. That's convenient, I guess, for that theory. But I still ask, even if reincarnation is real, and it may well be real, there's quite a bit of, you know, very compelling evidence that it is real and that it was written out of religion, I still don't get it, Peter. And what I don't get about it is, if you have no conscious memory of prior lives...
Why?
Then so what? You might as well, you know, you talk about being dead, worms crawl in and worms crawl out.
Right, absolutely.
It essentially is that. If there's no carrying forth of the memories and the experiences, the life experiences from one life to another, then you might as well say you're dead.
Exactly right, Art. And that's exactly right. And you have touched upon the central problem with religion, the central problem with Christianity. The central problem with the Eastern religions that believe in reincarnation. And I think the answer to that, you know, we're going deeper and deeper into religion here.
Yeah, that's fine. Is this split in the soul, right?
Right. The problem, the answer to that problem is that this is not the way it was supposed to be. We were not originally supposed to divide apart at death.
Yeah.
When we did, it screwed up everything. And I think that the moment when that all everything got screwed up was, it was recorded, maybe incorrectly or obscurely so, but it was recorded as the fall from grace in the Garden of Eden that was, you know, in the Bible and all of that. It was an original, at some point early on in the human race.
So
something went wrong.
Let me see if I've got this straight, that the human mind splits upon death, and one part of it reincarnates,
right?
And another part of it, if I've got this right, proceeds to heaven or hell.
Well,
is that?
It can be understood as that. It can be understood as that. The other part, actually, what it does is it descends into its own memories and its own emotions. And basically, it creates dreams for itself out of its memories and emotions of its own life. It reviews its own life, you know, like the life review that you hear about from near-death experiences. It reviews its life again and again and again. And the more it does that, the more it starts to judge itself.
Now, I've got that. Peter, let me be absolutely straight. The part that splits mm-hmm. These two minds, the part that reincarnates, that must be the unconscious part.
No, the conscious part is the part that reincarnates.
See, I could have understood if it was the unconscious part, because that would account for the lack of the bringing forth of the memories. And
but see, memory is contained in the unconscious. Memory is stored in the unconscious. The conscious mind, by itself, alone, by itself, it has no memory, it has no emotion, it has no... It's completely dispassionate. It's verbal. It has free will. It has the ability to make choices, but it does not contain memory. All the ancient religions specified this. They said that one half of the soul, it had free will, it had intellect, it had the spark of life. You know, it never died. The other half, the soul, it had memory, it had emotion.
Okay, I think I do understand where you're coming from. So the unconscious part of the mind, storing all the memories, mm-hmm. is what goes to heaven or hell, or on to the next level. I guess we'll talk about that here in a while, but goes in that direction, while the conscious portion, which is only in the here and now, mm-hmm. and doesn't contain all the memories, that's what reincarnates, and that
right.
accounts for the fact that...
That
you lose your memory. It's just the here and now part of the mind. That's kind of interesting. So, and then, okay, so let's break over to the other part, that unconscious part that has memories. That's what has the near-death experience?
Well, that's what has part of the near-death experience. The near-death experience, remember,
it
has two parts. It has the dark part, it has the dark phase and the light phase. And I believe that these two phases are actually being experienced by the two different parts of the mind. I think that the dark phase is being experienced by the conscious mind. Now, if you look at different reports of people that are going through the dark phase, you'll see something very interesting. You'll see that they have a sudden reduction in their emotional intensity. They seem to suddenly not be very concerned about their family or about their loved ones or really about much of anything. But then when the story changes and all of a sudden they start describing the light phase, we're in the realm of light, everything changes, and all of a sudden they are experiencing extreme emotions, and they're totally focused on the memories of their past life. And these distinctions reflect the characteristics of the conscious and the unconscious.
Somebody once said something to me. It was actually John Lear repeating something somebody else said. But the bottom line is, maybe even Whitley. The bottom line is, the line was, and it's always bothered me, Peter,
mm-hmm.
When you die, you know, you'll be given the choice of going to the light or the darkness. Don't go to the light, they said. It's a trick. Go to the darkness. That the light is a trick. And nothing has ever bothered me as much since, Peter.
this is actually something that I believe that they teach in Tibetan Buddhism. And
really?
Yes. If you look in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, it will talk about that same thing.
Well, now you worry, all you've done is worry me even more now.
Okay, now the thing is, a lot of ancient religions, they seem to have decided that it was impossible to prevent this division of the mind from occurring. They thought that it was just too hard, or maybe that it was completely impossible to prevent this division of the mind from occurring. And so instead of trying to prevent that division, what they would do is try to help a person to identify with one half of the mind and disidentify with the other half. And that way, the division would not bother them as much. Now, some of the Eastern religions, like Islam and like Hinduism and Buddhism, they seem to have identified with the conscious mind, with the conscious half of the mind, whereas other religions like Christianity and Judaism, they seem to have identified with the
unconscious.
They said that, you know, the most important part of yourself is your own innermost soul and your feelings and your emotions. And whereas the Eastern religion said the most important part of yourself is the dispassionate, unfeeling, abstract part of yourself. And I believe that they did this because they basically gave up hope on preventing the division from occurring and said, well, this is the next best thing. If you can identify with just one half or the other.
Yeah, if we can't stop it, then let's join it.
Yeah, basically sour grapes.
That's remarkable. I'd never heard, frankly, of this division of the minds before, and now how it's treated by the various religions is absolutely fascinating. All right, Peter, we're at the top of the hour, so hold tight right where you are, and we will continue. Peter Novak is my guest. Life, death, and a big question mark.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna open up your gate and maybe tell you about Phaedra and how she gave me life and how she made.
Flowers growing on a hill, dragonflies and daffodils learn from us very much. Look at us, but do not touch. Phaedra is my name.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
All right. So there are two parts to our mind, the binary mind, if you will. One part, the conscious part. Now, this is exactly opposite of the way I would have thought, but it's intriguing to think of it this way. The conscious part actually just being that part which lives in the moment, not the part that has any of our memories or any of our experience at all, but just that part of our mind that lives in the moment, the conscious moment. And that's the part that reincarnates with no memory of the past. So I don't know then what is the substance to that part of the mind. On the other hand, Peter says the substantive part of our mind is that which holds the memories and the experiences, and that is a subconscious part of the mind that goes in a very different direction. In a moment, once again, Peter Novak. I guess it really is humorous in a way. All these years since hearing that trick thing, it's bothered the hell out of me. And I don't see how I'm possibly going to pass on and get to that fork in the road, the darkness and the light, without, I don't know, pausing there on the path and looking back and forth. Darkness? Light. John Lear. Darkness? Light. Darkness, light. Big choice, right? Probably be stuck there looking back and forth. Peter, welcome back.
Thank you.
That trick thing is going to bother me until I die, and then definitely afterward, if there's some kind of choice, it's going to drive me nuts. And I hate to hear that there's any substance, apparently, to it. All right, so our mind divides.
Right.
And is there any modern eyewitness kind of testimony about this, about soul division? Anybody who's come back and talked about the division of the mind?
Actually, there have been a few. I was actually surprised to discover that there were eyewitnesses to this in the modern age. When I had written my first book, I was going purely on circumstantial evidence. I didn't realize that there was actually eyewitness evidence supporting this. I have since discovered that there are a number of near-death experience subjects who have reported having their minds splitting apart after they die. Now, some of these subjects, they say they will report that they saw themselves splitting in two. They saw another part of themselves separating, going off in another direction. But there are other reports of near-death experiences where they would actually describe where, when their minds divided apart, that they would experience subjectively being in both halves at the same time, but separating and looking at each other. Very strange.
Well, again, the half of the mind that becomes reincarnated, the conscious half, seems of, you know, that's the place where I go, well, so what? It doesn't mean anything to us, since we're not going to remember it. It means nothing. So, but there's the other half of the mind, the subconscious, carrying all the memories. Is that the one that gets to the fork in the road between the light and the darkness, or is that fork just fabrication?
I believe that that fork in the road does occur.
It does occur.
I do not believe that choice is not coming in that situation. You do not choose at that point in time whether your mind is going to divide apart or not. If your mind is going to divide apart, by that point, it has already been decided. It is already a foregone conclusion if it's going to happen or not. If it's going to happen, it's going to be because over the course of your life, you have already divided your life, divided your mind apart while you were living.
In what way?
You did that by alienating your unconscious mind from your conscious mind. You know, all of us, as we go through our lives, our unconscious is constantly whispering to us, telling us, oh, you should have done this, you should have been like that, you should do this, you should do that.
That's true.
It's basically our moral voice is originates from our unconscious.
And it's preaching constantly to the conscious mind.
It is.
It's saying, you know this is wrong.
Right. Or now, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can listen to this, or we can ignore it and reject it. And very often we do, you know, because the conscious mind is the stronger of the two halves of the mind. It can push the unconscious away. It can repress it. It can ignore
it. It's the part that it has free will, right?
Right.
Okay, so.
And so if one half of your mind is rejecting the other half of your mind while you're alive, then when you die, it does not surprise me if those two halves of the mind completely divide apart from each other. If, on the other hand, over the course of your life, you listened to your moral voice of your unconscious, you embraced it, you recognized it, you tried to integrate its messages into the way you live your life, then you would not divide yourself in two in life, and then you would not divide apart when you die.
Got it. Got it. Got it, got it, got it. That's why you said some people reincarnate, you believe, and some do not. Is that correct?
Right, right. And I also think that's why some people, like, you know, some of the most exalted, most advanced Hindu holy men and Buddhist holy men, they claim that they have reincarnated with memory. They have not divided apart between
got
lives.
It. Got it.
They
got
were
it.
Able to maintain their memory from one life to the next. Now, what we see today of that phenomenon is very, very faint. You know, you see, like, these lamas, and they will come back, and they will have, you know, actually quite vague memories of their previous life. They will be able to have enough memory of their previous life to recognize, you know, personal possessions from their past life and this and that. But there are elements of mankind's ancient traditions that lead me to an amazing hope, to a very exciting hope for me, and that is that I believe that in mankind's distant past, we all knew how to do this, and we reincarnated with memory again and again and again and again and again to the point that we would have, you know, we would have a continuous self-conscious awareness for 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. If you look at the traditions of cultures in the Middle East, of Egypt, of India, of Mesopotamia, of the Bible and the Jews, they will say that way back, people lived for a long time. They lived for 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years.
That's right.
And I believe, my research into the binary soul doctrine
has
convinced me that what those traditions are actually saying is not that their physical bodies lived for that long.
No, but they
rather
remained,
that their minds
they remained
lived
whole.
For that long.
They remained
whole.
Whole.
They
that
incarnated
whole time.
Again and again and again as the same person.
I absolutely understand. Well, wouldn't that mean then, and I don't want to lead you down a path that's going to get you into any trouble here, but trouble is my middle name.
Mm.
Doesn't it mean that modern America, Peter, modern America is pretty much a country of very separated souls?
I'm afraid so. I think that probably most of the world is right now. But that's not necessarily something that should surprise us. If you look at the different religious traditions, they say this, you know. The Bible says, oh, we had the fall from grace in Eden, and now, you know, mankind is basically screwed. You know, we're in deep trouble.
Right.
Basically, they see the same story from India. They say we're in the, I believe it's the Kali Yuga. It's the most degenerate age of mankind.
There's quite a bit of modern evidence out there that what you say there is true. Basically, that we're screwed. However, you do claim that there are examples of those who live a pure life and listen to their subconscious implicitly and remain whole, but they are darn few and far between.
They are few and far between. I think that they used to be less few and far between. If you look at the traditional names of some of the high kings of Egypt, they have names like he whose lives repeat, he whose has had many lives. I think that reflects the fact that they reincarnate with memory again and again and again.
All right, let's talk about the people who have the split minds, most of us, frankly.
Basically, yeah.
Well, all right, so in their case, what evidence exists of, yes, okay, their consciousness goes flying into another life that doesn't know a damn thing about the prior life there, but what happens to their subconscious?
Well, yeah. Their subconscious, we see reflections of separated subconsciouses in a number of different afterlife reports. We see that in the light phase of near-death experiences. We also see that in reports of haunting ghosts.
You think that produces some of them are so unrested that they simply cannot proceed as they should otherwise and they become ghosts?
No, I think that these are actually separate halves of a human mind.
Right,
they are so, basically they're mentally disturbed. They're mentally dysfunctional because they are split minds. They're only half of the whole mind.
Right.
And because they are so dysfunctional, you see evidence of mental illness in haunting ghosts. You see evidence of mental illness in an awful lot of different kind of afterlife a phenomenon.
You're right. Well, I mean, a lot of it seems crazy, what's done and, you know, the displays put on and the rest of that. It mm-hmm. does seem kind of crazy.
Yeah. The other half of the coin is the poltergeist. I think that the haunting ghost and the poltergeist, we're looking at the two different halves of the mind.
Right.
Whereas the haunting ghost tends to be completely frozen in their own memories and their own emotions.
Right.
And they're completely subjective, and they're not aware of what's going on around them. The exact opposite is true about poltergeists. They don't seem to have any memories or emotions of their own, and they seem to be completely focused on what's going on around them. They're completely objective-oriented.
Huh. I suppose that's true. But there must be then also, I guess I shouldn't say must. Are there a group then that go where? Do they get to a traditional heaven or something in between? Where do the rest of these souls that don't become poltergeists or ghosts go?
Well, the question is, if you see this ghost, right?
Yes.
You see this ghost and he's doing whatever it is he's doing it again and again and again. You're looking at him objectively. You're looking at him from a third person. You can't necessarily tell what he's experiencing within his own mind.
Right.
Within his own mind, he could be experiencing that he's in hell. It's very interesting if you look at different reports of hell from near-death experiences. There are two different kinds of reports about this. One in which people, during a near-death experience, they discover, I am in hell, or it feels like I'm in hell. And they would describe a scene of extreme agony and torture. You know, it's very, very horrible to even read these reports. But then you also hear different kind of reports about people who go to heaven and then they get to look into hell. And what they see there is a very different kind of thing. They see these creatures that are walking around and they're just kind of aimless and they're just kind of having internal surges of anxiety and distress.
You're right.
And they're not aware of what's going on around them.
I've had that described to me, Peter. Believe me, I've had it described to me.
And I think that their internal experience is that they are in hell. One version, you're looking at them from the outside. The other version, you're having it described to you what they are experiencing inside. It's the same thing.
Hmm. But I'm trying to hold out some hope here. Do some of these minds slip through to what we conventionally think of as heaven, or do you think not?
Absolutely, I do.
Oh, you do? You do?
I think that there is such a thing as heaven. I think that there are two different kinds of heaven. I think that there is a heaven for a separated mind, and then there is a totally different kind of a thing for the person whose mind does not divide apart.
Huh.
I think that for the person who has a separated mind,
yes,
it is basically a dream world experience. It's a dream reality. It's a construct that they have created with their own minds, within their own minds.
But this would be a level below a complete reincarnation, wouldn't it? Should we think of it that way?
I wouldn't think of it as a reincarnation. I still think that...
No, I'm saying a level below. In other words, a complete reincarnation would be the whole mind.
Right.
So would a split soul that goes to what we think of as heaven be in a better place than somebody who had wholly recreated?
No, I think they would be in a... Well, it would be in a worse place, but they may not realize it, because without their conscious mind, they do not have the intellectual capacity to realize the limitations of their existence. They don't have the ability to make choices. They don't have the ability to be free and independent and creative. But they wouldn't realize that either, so it wouldn't be a big problem for them.
In other words, their free will is gone, but they don't...
They're basically having a happy dream.
Yeah, they're having a happy dream. So they don't care. They don't care that their free will is gone because...
Right, they don't really realize it. But there's a whole different level, a whole different level of people, I believe, whose minds do not divide apart at death. And I can only look to different traditions that have reported the experiences of these people. They actually describe them as like mini gods. They are immortal. They have supreme happiness and complete freedom. And I think... To be perfectly honest, it's probably close to impossible for us to describe what it is that they're experiencing.
Well, I'm appreciative of the fact that you're doing the best you can anyway. This is a whole different way of looking at all of this for me, and it's perhaps a logical way. I can sort of understand what you've been saying. I really can. So the split minds go to a heaven, it's really not as high a calling as the whole mind that goes forward and becomes another complete person, and their life continues for, well, indefinitely.
Right. Now, you don't know. If they have their mind whole, you do not know if they necessarily come back and reincarnate on Earth or not. They may choose to do that. They may choose to do something else. We don't, you know, we have really no idea what options would be available to them at that point.
So they could reincarnate as some kind of gods or some kind of aliens or some kind of something that we can't possibly even understand?
Right, right. But what they had done was they had basically graduated from Earth, right, because right now everyone here, we're struggling with this recurring cycle of soul division. We reincarnate, we divide, we reincarnate, we divide. If someone escapes that cycle,
yes,
you know, they would discover a freedom that I really think that we could probably not even comprehend. But they would be completely free of the limitations that human beings experience in this world.
But that would be a very unusual individual. Most of us would be doing the fifth grade again and again and again, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, hold it right there. When we get back, we'll begin to explore questions from all of you for Peter Novak. I wonder if you were able to... Actually, I was quite able to follow along with this. It's an intriguing and different way to think about it all. From the High Desert, I'm Art Bell.